Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome on into WWL's NBA draft coverage. And what do you know? Pick number one is in. So we are kicking things off right, Charlie. No, we're not lagging behind at all here. Cooper Flagg officially heading to the Dallas Mavericks with the top overall selection in the 2025 draft. Huge surprise all around.
Obviously a very shocking pick here, Steve. No, I mean, Cooper Flagg was the number one overall player in this draft class.
Months ago.
I mean, talk about NBA ready. The kid's ready to get NBA minutes right off the bat. And all you hear about Cooper Flagg, tireless work ethic. He is a gym rat. He is someone that is a two-way player, excellent on the defensive end, developing on the offensive end. And once again, entering this year, you know, it was him and Ace Bailey as kind of the projected 1A, 1B of this draft class. You know, maybe Ace didn't quite live up to that, but Cooper Flagg certainly did. He had an outstanding season. I remember we were talking to different reporters during March Madness and had, you know, Duke went on to beat Houston, and which they lost to Houston in the Final Four, and then potentially beat Florida in the national championship game, we would have been talking about Cooper Flagg as having maybe one of the, if not the best, one-and-done season of all time. That's how good this kid was at Duke.
Averaging 19 points a game last year, 7.5 rebounds and 4 assists per game, along with about a block and a half a game.
Good shooting splits as well. I mean, he is just, but he's also a dog on defense, and that's right. What really, really excites you if you're a Mavericks fan. And, you know, the whole thing with Nico Harrison trading Luka Doncic, he kept saying, defense wins championships, defense wins championships. Well, you got a really good NBA-ready defender in Cooper Flagg, who's going to be an instant contributor on the wing for this Mavericks squad.
Right now we have the San Antonio Spurs on the clock with pick number two. After that, it'll be the Philadelphia 76ers at three, like Charlie was talking about. Feels that's when the draft really starts, because the question marks there are where Philly's going to go. We feel like we know that the Spurs, where they're going here, it's going to be Harper.
Yeah, Dylan Harper, the son of Ron Harper, NBA
bloodline. Although we'll see if they surprise us.
They very well could. That's that thing that Mark Cook said the other day is just sticking
stuck in your head,
in the
yeah.
back of my mind. And maybe they do shock the world and take someone like Haman Malawach here with the second overall pick. But ultimately, I think that they've decided that it's going to be, obviously, Dylan Harper. And then you have the core of Wemby and Dylan Harper and Stephon Castle for the foreseeable future. And then all of a sudden, the Spurs become very, very scary again.
Going to be monitoring things, too, as well, to find out all these rumored trades and teams that are interested in possibly moving up or even moving down in this year's draft. You mentioned last hour, too, with those Brooklyn Nets. Can't imagine you hold on to all those first-round selections.
We'll have to see with Brooklyn. Maybe they decide to trade up. Maybe they decide to trade a couple of their picks for future picks. They're definitely the team to watch here. But, you know, the pick is in for San Antonio, so it didn't take them very long either to make their decision. And once again, we're expecting it to be Dylan Harper here, a combo guard, 6'5", good size, about 215. You know, put up good numbers with a Rutgers team that didn't have much success this past year, Steve. And that's the one thing that keeps coming up when we talk about Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. It's just like, how do you have these two guys that could both be top three prospects in their draft class, and you don't just not make the NCAA tournament? You don't have a winning record with the Scarlet Knights this past year. Very, very strange state of affairs and how that all kind of went down.
Harper, point guard, like you mentioned, that Rutgers, 6'5", 213, going to be, you know, getting onto a team with last year's first-round pick in a Victor Wembanyama, and the Spurs, you know.
The Spurs
continue to build, you know, like that new dynasty, it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you go from Victor Wembanyama, the number one overall pick, and then last year they had the number four overall pick, and they take Castle,
right,
who wins the Rookie of the Year award for them, and then now you're potentially adding Dylan Harper to that. And like we had mentioned with Andrew just, you know, last hour, that Cooper Flagg was in a tier of his own. He's kind of the quote-unquote generational prospect of this year's class, but then there's a tier right below him, and that's Dylan Harper. And then there's a tier below that, and then it's a jumble of players there. So it's almost certainly going to be Harper, but we'll see what if the Spurs throw us a curveball here.
You mentioned with Harper, the son of former NBA player Ron Harper, also the younger brother of Ron Harper Jr., former five-star recruit, spent a season at Rutgers where he finished second among all freshmen in points per game and had the sixth most assists per game among qualifying players. The Spurs, unfortunately, in that Western Conference, going to see. They seem like one of those teams that are going to be a problem for a while.
So, once again, if you're looking for an NBA comp for someone like Dylan Harper, with everything that we've been talking about in his offensive game, which is very advanced heading into the NBA, the comp for him is Cade Cunningham. And Cade Cunningham was the number one overall pick in his own draft a few years back, and we've seen how he's developed early on. It just kind of course, fits that, you know, the Spurs, who had kind of experienced a few down years here and there recently, ever since they had their dynasty of the 2000s and the early 2010s, they are going to be back in the fold in the Western Conference very, very soon.
At least the good thing is, I guess we could say, no more Popovich is around, at least.
Yeah, Popovich is gone. You know, Mitch Johnson has replaced him
right.
as the new head coach there. And, you know, Victor Wembanyama, what else can you say about that kid's talent? He's going to be unbelievable for years to come.
I've heard some of the rumblings going into the draft that he would welcome a big also in this draft because he would prefer to play the four instead of...
Or like seven, he's like 7'5", I think.
Right, exactly.
At the four.
Kind of like an Anthony Davis.
And he is kind of a stretch big because he can step out and shoot the three. That's why he's such a unicorn. He's an unbelievable talent. And that's not even mentioning his defensive game as well.
It is official.
There we have it. Dylan Harper is the number two overall pick in the 2025 NBA draft. As we kind of mentioned there, we expected that to be the case. And, you know, just, I don't want to say the rich get richer, but San Antonio, they could have potentially blown this whole thing up and maybe traded Stephon Castle, maybe traded the number two overall pick in a package to Milwaukee and potential for Giannis and Antetokounmpo as a trade and pairing Giannis with Wemby. And at the same time, I think that the Spurs trust that they can build from within and develop their young talent. We already saw a little bit from Wemby. We've already seen stuff from Stephon Castle, and now they're going to have Dylan Harper into the mix. And that's a core young nucleus that they're kind of building right there. And, you know, once again, I wouldn't expect to see the Spurs down too much longer.
Shocking to see two Rutgers players projected to go so high in this year's draft.
Yeah, once again, that's the weird thing about this entire thing. It's like, how do you have these super, super talented players, and then you can't even have a winning record?
Right.
And, you know, when we talked with Nick Friedel about this about a month ago leading into the lottery, about the difference between Harper and Ace Bailey and why Harper is the clear number two guy, it's because Harper showed his skills more consistently on a nightly basis at the college level than Ace Bailey did. Ace Bailey had maybe the higher flashes where he would have a game where he pops off for 37 points, 39 points in college. But it was a little bit inconsistent with him. And that's the one thing with the NBA level is that you're going to have to do it night after night after night if you want to be a true star player. And Dylan Harper showed that consistently at Rutgers. Ace Bailey was a little bit more inconsistent. And that's why you had him kind of pinned in as the number two guy on this list.
We got the Philadelphia 76ers now on the clock here, followed by the Charlotte Hornets. Then it'll be the new Utah Jazz, Washington Wizards, and then pick number seven, the New Orleans Pelicans. Don't have to wait too long tonight to get the Pel's first pick in. Looking at these Philadelphia 76ers squad, looking here at some of the best fits for them, CBS Sports has Trey Johnson, Ace Bailey, and VJ Edgecombe. I feel like we didn't talk much about the Baylor guard.
Yeah, VJ's fascinating. He's got all the athleticism in the world, kind of an elite athlete that can jump through the gym. That's kind of what you're talking about with him. The comp has been someone like Victor Oladipo. You know, when he came into the league, he was a supreme athlete. He kind of had to develop a little bit of his offensive game. And it's the same thing with VJ. He's not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination. But if you're talking about Daryl Morey, the GM of the 76ers, and what he's going to want to do, he typically gambles on the athleticism, on the guys that could have a really, really high ceiling and potentially enter stardom once you get to the NBA level. And so I think it would be VJ if I'm sitting in the Philadelphia 76ers chair. But like we had said, this is where the draft kind of starts. They could take Ace Bailey because he's the third best player in this class. They could decide to trade this pick to someone that wants to jump up there.
That's what I'm waiting for, to see if that happens.
We'll see if it happens here, because now they have about 3.5 minutes left on their clock here. So we'll see what happens, Steve. But right now, if they're staying put, I would imagine that VJ Edgecombe's the pick.
Well, those Philadelphia 76ers on the clock. We're going to take a break right here on NBA draft coverage. Come back with more, so stay tuned right after this on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah. Back here in our WWL NBA draft coverage, the top three picks now in. We were going to break when the 76ers were on the clock, so we've seen Cooper Flagg going to the Mavericks, Dylan Harper to the San Antonio Spurs, and we were just talking about Baylor's VJ Edgecombe going to the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, happy to welcome Jim Eichenhofer into the tip-off, Pelicans writer and host of the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Jim, how's it been going leading up to this draft?
It's been exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to turning the page from last season, looking ahead to next season. By the way, I just heard somebody say this is when the draft gets exciting. I thought they were referring to me coming on the show, but I realized that the first three picks were pretty much predicted by people. But now is where it gets interesting, I think, for a lot of people at number four.
We're excited to have you too, though.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
I saw you tweeted before we get into some draft stuff, though. Congratulations to a former Pelican, Kenrich Williams, for getting an NBA title with the OKC Thunder. Just your thoughts overall on how the finals played out. I don't think a lot of people expected the Pacers to push them to seven games.
I loved watching the Pacers throughout the entire playoffs. And don't tell Kenrich I said this. Just keep this between us. But I kind of was leaning towards wanting the Pacers to win the championship. But, I mean, it was a great NBA Finals. It was funny how much people kind of downgraded the series before it started and said, like, who's going to watch this? Oh, it's small markets in it. To me, it ended up being the best NBA Finals of this decade, of the 2020s. Probably the best one maybe since 2016 when the Cavs-Warriors went seven games. So, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun basketball. Wish the games were a little closer together. It felt like it took about a month to play that series, but with the new format of the 2-2-1-1-1, there's a lot more travel days.
Right.
But just overall, I thought it was great basketball, and it was funny, though. It just feels like, unlike a lot of years, there's like 2 days between the Game 7 and the draft, so here we are.
Right. Yeah, right into it. I mean, as you kind of mentioned, the fascinating thing about that Pacers-OKC series, and I promise we are going to talk about the draft because I have plenty of questions about that, was that entering it, like, OKC's minus 500. One of the biggest favorites of all time, and it gets pushed to Game 7. I know the Tyrese Halliburton injury happens, and it was really unfortunate because that could have been one of the greatest finals upsets we've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Pacers fan, you got to be like, at some point, is anyone going to think that this is actually a good team? Because, right. I mean, I think they were favored maybe by a little bit in the first round against Milwaukee, but they ended up winning that five, and they definitely were huge underdogs against the Cavs and the Knicks and the Thunder.
Yep.
And so they almost pulled it off. So, I mean, yeah, I was really impressed. But, I mean, OKC, going back to Kenrich Williams, he's one of those, like, glue guy players that people loved. He was here the season that, unfortunately, the Anthony Davis trade demand happened. So to me, I loved watching him play because it was like we were looking for something positive that year to latch onto, and he was kind of somebody that you could root for, just how gritty he is. So I was happy to see him win a title.
So we talked with Andrew Lopez about this, Jim, and just generally speaking, as you mentioned, 21-61, it was a rough season, but at the same time, this is kind of the reward for that rough season, having the 7th overall pick in the lottery, you know, a premium selection tonight, and we're really looking forward to it. And Steve and I have kind of batted this back and forth a little bit about, you know, when you're drafting in the NBA, especially this high in the lottery, do you kind of draft to fill a need or do you draft to fill a ceiling and you're looking for the best possible talent available? So I just want to get your general thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, no one's asked me in basketball ops for my opinion, so this isn't going to factor in anything. But, I mean, to me, I think when you get a chance to pick this high, which is something that they haven't been able to do very much because for the most part they haven't been in the bottom tier of the league record-wise, you got to pick somebody who 2 or 3 years from now you look back on it and say, I'm glad we made that pick because he's a pillar. He's like part of the foundation of what we've built over the last few years. So from that standpoint, I would say, specific to your question, I would look more at just taking the best player available than worrying about position-wise. I mean, it's a little different with the Pelicans because, yeah, they came off a 21-win season, but before that they won 49 games and have been a competitive playoff team. So maybe it's a little different than what, say, Washington is looking at, where they really are. They really have to be best player available. But I still think that given the uncertainty of what's going to happen with the roster over the next, say, short-term year or two, I think it's important that you nail this pick because, you know, hopefully they won't be picking in the middle or any part of the lottery in the near future.
Exciting times because we got two picks in the first round. Also, a new era starting with Joe Dumars leading the helm. What have your been initial impressions, just, I guess, if you've gotten to talk to him or heard what he's bringing into this organization?
Yeah, I have gotten a chance to talk to him. And, I mean, to me, my impression of him is pretty much exactly what I expected based on having seen a lot of his career, maybe the latter portion of his career, just knowing what kind of guy he is. I mean, the Sportsmanship Award is named after him, just as an example. He just seems like a very straight shooter kind of guy. He's pretty much straight to the point and tells you what he thinks. So I think that's going to be something that has an impact on the roster, just the way that he's going to run things. And that I'm looking forward to. He talked a little bit about, you know, bringing more toughness to the roster, and they have to get better on defense because they were 29th in defensive efficiency last season. The 2 years before that, they were 6th. And so we saw the personnel on the roster changed a lot, and I think that was part of it. Also, that Herb Jones only played 21 games was right. A big factor as well. So I'm interested to see what he does. I mean, if you look at the prime of his career when he was on Detroit, when they won 2 championships, that was like a hard-nosed defensive team. And I'm not saying that's realistic to be like that level of defense, but I'm curious to see what he can do to bring them back to the defense that they played in the previous years.
And even when he was the head executive in Detroit at the early 2000s, yep. He really kind of built up that roster and kind of mm-hmm. built the culture and everything that we keep talking about, toughness and what he keeps preaching and everything like that. You think of those underdog Pistons teams that made it to all those Eastern Conference Finals yep. in the 2000s. That mm-hmm. was the roster that Joe Dumars built from the ground up.
Right.
So, you know, that you're expecting him to potentially do that again here and build it in his image, and that's what you want to see.
Yeah, I mean, that 2004 team, to me, is one of the most fun championship teams just because they were also huge underdogs in
right.
that series against the Lakers that had basically 4 Hall of Famers on that team, and I think the Lakers were heavily favored going into that, and the Pistons almost swept them. They won that series in 5 games, but it was a bunch of guys that had a chip on their shoulder and something to prove. So I think that's kind of the mentality that I would like to see the Pelicans have more of this season, because I feel like that kind of faded away a little bit last season, that they, on the defensive end especially, but just overall, it felt like they were a lot of games where they were out-hustled and they were kind of out-toughed and pushed around a little bit. So that you want to be the team that bullies the other guys, not the ones that gets bullied.
Right.
Besides the top picks in this draft, you know, we talked ad nauseum about them, but is there anybody, one or two prospects maybe, that intrigued you going into this that wasn't one of the top names, at least, that were listed going into this 2025 draft?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about Walter Clayton from
yep,
Florida
sure.
as somebody who might be like mid-first round, late second, or late first round as well. That is intriguing. I mean, it's an interesting mix of different guys. I mean, I see there's definitely a few international guys that I'm interested in but don't know a ton about. So... But it is going to be really interesting to see not only who the Pelicans pick, but like who's still on the board.
Con Knupel is now off the board.
Yes.
Okay.
Going to the Charlotte Hornets.
As we had talked about earlier, Steve, the super high floor safe selection for the Charlotte Hornets, someone that, you know, is going to play a decade in the NBA and have a long, long career at the next level. And, you know, the connective piece, quote-unquote, the guy that can be there, not have to be the star player because you have LaMelo Ball and you have Brandon Miller there already. But he's definitely a fascinating piece for the Charlotte Hornets now to pick for.
So you said not wanting international basketball. What, you're not tuned into the French League?
No, I haven't. I'm lucky if I can watch NCAA, American college basketball. But yeah, no, I like Knupel a lot. I mean, he's somebody that I thought would be great for the Pelicans. But obviously, it looked like as we got closer to the draft that there was no
up,
way
right.
he was going to be available at 7. That
he was
going to be
gone.
One of
those stock up guys
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yep.
And you know, we're coming up on the 7th overall pick, and as you mentioned, we now have 4 picks throughout the NBA draft, so the Pelicans are just a couple picks away here.
Tick-tock.
General kind of ideas of which players you kind of like it for the Pelicans at the 7th overall pick before we even get to pick 23 later on.
I really don't have a good feel for that, honestly. Like, I mean, I have guys that I like that
yeah,
I have maybe leaning towards. I like Jeremiah Fears because I feel like he's just reading from, you know, David Aldridge does a great job with the article that he does on The Athletic before every draft where he talks to scouts and gets their opinions about players. And it seemed like one of the themes in what they talked about with Fears was that he has some of the biggest upside to be a star player eventually, maybe not right away, but within the next couple of years. So, I mean, I like that part of it too. I think point guard, you know, if you can get somebody that can be a difference maker at point guard, that would be cool with me. But yeah, I mean, it seems like based on the mock drafts that I've looked at pretty extensively over the last few weeks, saw a lot of Trey Johnson, saw a lot of Kaman Maluach. I think those were probably the three of the guys that are left now.
Sure.
I think those are probably the three ones that I saw the most.
Yeah, Malawach is definitely a name I feel like more and more I kept hearing connected to this Pel squad as we got closer to draft day.
Yeah, but the thing is like, who knows if that how legit right. those are? Because right. I feel like we saw the thing that's so hard right now. There's a good and bad to I think some of the draft coverage. There's so many people that cover the draft now that the amount of information that you can get is awesome. Like I love going on YouTube and there's so many more like really good video scouting reports of players that anyone can get access to. But on the other hand, sometimes there's also a ton of draft rumors and trade rumors that I know immediately are totally like worthless.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, exactly. I don't want to swear on
yeah,
your show.
Yeah, right. No, there you go. Right.
but yeah. So I mean, I think you got to take the good with the bad, I guess, with that. But yeah, there's definitely so much stuff floating around that you don't know if it's valid or not, especially with the trades.
Yeah, Malawach is definitely a fascinating figure. We talked about Joe Dumars building up the Detroit Pistons and the importance of having the defensive-minded big. And you think of those Pistons teams, you think of Ben Wallace. And I know that he was an undrafted player, so it's a little bit different than like the seventh overall pick and what he ended up turning into. But you know the importance of having that core big man defender in the middle of your defense. And Kaman Malawach, the 7'2" big man out of Duke, 7'7" wingspan, profiles as an elite shot blocker right off the bat, and an NBA-ready shot blocker at that. You know, I think he's definitely a fascinating prospect.
Yeah, it seems like he's one of those guys, too, that hasn't played basketball that long. So
yeah,
people
said,
talk about his upside being pretty high because he's only been in the game for a few years. It's kind of like Yves Missi was the
right.
same way, where you say, if he's already made this much progress in this short amount of time, and he's also still really young, I think he's 19, how much better can he continue to get?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think he was playing soccer until he was like 13, and then they realized how tall the kid was going to be. And
yeah.
Like, you have to play basketball. So it's definitely an interesting story.
I saw an interview with him where he said that when he started to be too big to play on the field soccer, they wanted to throw him in at goalie, and he was like, I don't want to play goalie. So I guess that may be part of how he ended up in basketball.
That's funny.
Jim, definitely appreciate the time and be enjoying the rest of the draft night here. I know I'll be seeing you hanging around the media room, but definitely appreciate you stopping by and look forward to reading what you got coming up at Pelicans.com and also putting out on the Pelicans podcast as well. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I had fun.
Jim Eichenhofer, Pelicans writer and host of the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. The last pick just in on the NBA draft as we roll on was the Charlotte Hornets taking Kong Knupel with the fourth overall selection. Before that, it was no surprise at all. Cooper Flagg going to the Dallas Mavericks. Still, Dylan Harper selected by the San Antonio Spurs at number two. And VJ Edgecombe going to the Philadelphia 76ers at third overall. Pick is in for the Utah Jazz. After that, the Washington Wizards. And that is followed by pick number seven, which is the New Orleans Pelicans. So we're going to take a break. Be back with more of Sports Talk right after this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Back here on WWL's draft coverage, we've got Cooper Flagg going number one overall. After that, it was Harper to the San Antonio Spurs, VJ Edgecombe going to the Sixers, Kong Knupel number four overall going to the Charlotte Hornets, and we just saw Ace Bailey, Rutgers guard, getting selected number five to the Utah Jazz. The Wiz are on the clock right now.
Yeah, maybe the first quote-unquote surprise of the night with Ace Bailey, because it sounded like he was trying to force his way into one of Washington, New Orleans, or
maybe
even
one
Brooklyn.
Of those private visits was to Utah. Who
yeah,
knows?
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out after the draft ends. But yeah, no, Ace Bailey going fifth overall, and that's probably the first kind of surprising move of the night.
Guy joining us now, Pelicans radio studio host Gus Cattingill. Thanks so much for the time, Gus. How you been doing, man?
For sure, man. You could cut the tension with a knife in here, can't you? Getting closer and closer. It's interesting. All we've done, and you guys already did this a couple months ago with the NFL draft, right? You
yep.
look at mock drafts left and right. You look at who's going to be there around that time. At least it's easier being at seven. You have kind of a ballpark. You know one and two are going to be one and two. So
yep.
you can kind of start digging into it. And you guys just had Jim on, and we did a series of podcasts where we looked at every team before the Pels, which is great because then I could find out what I needed to know about
yeah.
what was it going. Because let's be honest, right? It's kind of been one of my themes going into this draft and during the season with college basketball, with NIL, kind of like with football, right? I mean, players move so much, guys, that until March Madness comes, I'm doing basically a very quick study as to who is who and what is what, yeah. right? When it came to Harper and Baylor, it's like, wait, those two guys can go one, you know, either one or two or one and three in the top three, and it didn't make the NCAA tournament. Yeah. I'm lost. I'm like, how many people does Duke have that could be in the draft? So it helped doing that exercise, because if not, I wouldn't be able to tell you who's doing what.
It's like Rutgers has two top guys here, and they were,
incredible.
They were terrible.
You only play five at one time, right?
Exactly.
And two of them are going to be lottery picks, if not could have been top three picks. So it was interesting. But I guess in doing that process, one thing that I found that was interesting is you have one and two, and then from three to about 15, I keep looking at it as, what do you want? It's fit.
Yeah.
And you keep hearing, and I'm sure you guys have been talking about it too, you could have a guy that can go three or four, that if he slides to seven or eight, a team might have him as their third or fourth best player. And the reason why I'm getting into that, as we get closer with the Pels, you like shooters? They got shooters. You got point guards like Jeremiah Fears, who people really love, right? Trey Johnson's a scorer there from Texas. So if you like those guys, you like three-point shots, you like point guards, you got that. If you like bigs, which is something that maybe the Pels could be looking at, because you have Eve Misi, who had an outstanding rookie season, right? Made one of the teams in the league. You got a very big guy out of Duke, could be the third Dukie going in the top 10, and that would be Kamen Maluwach, my pick, right? Not that you asked me already, but, dude, 7'9 wingspan, 7'2.
Awesome.
Charlie, you can't teach size and speed,
you cannot.
And this guy has that, and
he hasn't
young.
Turned 19 yet, right?
No, that's what I'm saying.
And, you know, we were talking with Jim about this as well. The Pelicans had some deficiencies last year with defense and with rebounding. I think you can figure out a lot of those things with Kamen Maluwach, the guy that's ready to come in and kind of anchor a defense from the center of the floor. And Kamen Maluwach, as you mentioned, you can't really teach the size. Oh, Trey Johnson just got selected by the Washington
take
Wizards.
Take him off the draft board, and now the New Orleans Pelicans are on the clock.
And this is where this is what's going to be interesting, right? Because, again, a guy like Jeremiah Fears, right, can come in right now and sort of help. He is a point guard that can not only score, but he can run the court, right?
The word that keeps coming up with Jeremiah Fears
general?
Is dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, he is a very dynamic guy with
the
ball in his hands.
The look on my face. That's what I'm saying. You can go one or the other way. And the reason why I mean that is you have Eve Misi, you have Carlo Matkovich, right? That center room, that big room, Charlie, we were just talking about before on the air.
Right.
You don't have a lot of those guys like that. And I think one thing that we've seen is, what am I trying to do in the West? I'm trying to make the postseason, for starters. Then eventually I want to win the West, get, you know, advance those rounds. OKC has size. They have length, right? And when you look at it in the past series that the Pels have played against those top-tier teams, and you're seeing everybody else, San Antonio's big, and they haven't been a playoff team. So that's where I'm going. You go up and down. There's a lot of size. Pels don't have a lot of that size, in my mind. So I right now I'm completely cool. I'm ecstatic if I'm that room. I can go with a guy like that. Like you said, Jeremiah Fears is dynamic. DeJounte Murray may not come back to February. I know you made a trade. Perhaps we'll see what happens. You know, they can maybe fill that room or stuff. But that's a guy that can come in and help. And then you have a guy that's a big that can help. So,
to your point about the center position as well, there's something to be said about having, and as we mentioned earlier, the defensive deficiencies, the rebounding deficiencies, there's something to be said of having 48 minutes of good center play a night, right? And you have a good amount of it with Eve Misi, and you know what you have in him after a very strong rookie campaign. But after that, there's the question marks there. And that's why I think Kamen Maluwach, if I'm, you know, Joe Dumars, and I'm not Joe Dumars, but if I'm sitting in that seat, I think that would be my decision.
I think the other thing that's going to be interesting, too, is do you field phone calls and what you can do, right, on that. But, again, I'm in a situation where, look, don't overthink it. It's real simple, right? Were you a playoff team last year?
No.
Hell no.
Have you had issues staying healthy?
Right.
I need as many available, talented bodies that I can get. Period. It's really that simple to me. I'll figure it out. You know, I mean, it's the same thing I'm sure you heard the coaching staff here that has the fleur-de-lis on their helmets, right? Bring in as much talent as you can possibly bring, and it will figure it out. And then you play the best players on there. If this was a team that was a consistent first or second round team playing in the Western Conference championships, then we're specific, right? You're not. I need as much talent as I can possibly get.
And that's part of what makes this draft so interesting, is that you have that second first-round pick as well with the 23rd overall pick. You traded Indiana's first-round pick next year. Back to them, you get their 23rd overall pick this year. And now you can kind of see Joe Dumars start to put his imprint on this roster. And he's already made a couple of moves. And now with the 7th overall pick and with the 23rd overall pick, I think you're going to make multiple selections tonight.
I agree. And I think that was the thing that's interesting, because obviously when you see that trade for that pick, everyone's like, oh, you're using it to move up stuff. Hey, look. With this new CBA, you can't stack. You're going to have to draft. It's kind of actually really nice, because let's be honest, probably in the past, you look at Thursday and you're like, who's in the second round? Teams in the past, and we've covered it, Steve, I've known you forever. That second round pick, people were selling for bag of beignets and cash in the past.
Exactly.
You cannot do that anymore. The Pels have had success with late picks and second round picks as well, specifically. But I think teams in the NBA have to build now. And those guys are so important to get in. Bench, no bench. I was listening to a national show this morning. They were talking about the Denver Nuggets, and specific with Jokic. When they won, they had a solid bench that helped them. This year, no bench. That guy had his best statistical season as a Denver Nugget, Jokic, the Joker. Right. You've got to have guys that can help you. How important is Alvarado? How important are guys that have come off the bench or haven't been, top 10 lottery picks for the Pelicans that have helped them win games?
Right.
Got to have it.
When you look at, you mentioned past picks that they've been successful with, that's something I feel like this Pelicans organization, the scouting department, has done a heck of a job in, and feel like hopefully that continues going into this year, because I feel last season we saw a guy like Yves Missi get drafted, and a lot of folks have felt were poo-pooing the pick, and look what he ended up turning out to be.
Again, it kind of goes back to something that I kind of hinted at, too. You just don't know, right? I mean, it's hard to follow a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys are younger and things of that nature, which I do think, guys, is going to change. NIL money, you've seen the last couple of weeks, people have reported European leagues maybe either folding or not being as popular, because they can now go to college and make a couple million dollars and make money that way. So I think college basketball, you can start seeing some guys stick and a little bit more talent that way. But to your point, that guy was the 21st pick. And I would argue, I could make an argument right here if we had longer time, he might have been the team's MVP, to be honest with you.
Definitely that one of the dunk best
against,
rookies.
That dunk against Miles Turner early in the season, the block shots.
Zach Edey as
that's what I'm saying. Like, you got a guy who's 21 that forced you to make him a starter in the first week. I mean, when no one expected that. So, hey, man, to me, 23 matters and 7 matters. So,
yeah, I'm right there with you. And, it's kind of interesting. I'm looking, going back to Kamen Malawach, the pro comp from CBS Sports, they have him as Mitchell Robinson. And I think that's went to Chalmette High. He's kind of a local connection there. But it's definitely interesting to see, the potential ceiling pick, because we've talked about drafting for need versus drafting for ceiling. I almost think that Malawach kind of fills a little bit of both.
I want to say something to you, because, again, I'm ecstatic if I'm on the other side of this building right now, right? Because I can make my pick up to what I want. And you said with Veers, he's dynamic. And I think with Malawach, there's so much potential in size and strength. Let's just take a look at the finals, right? One of the things that I was talking with Jim in our podcast, Pel's got to find that identity. What are we? What are you going to do? More importantly, what did you see with those two teams? They were led by a player, whether it's SGA and Haliburton, and what did they do? Give me the ball. Attack.
Yep.
Right. Go. Got to score. Defense is great. At some point in time, though, you got to have a player that wants the ball, can be dynamic, and more importantly, if you got a guy like Z and Trey,
kind of be the maestro.
Yeah. I mean, it's always nice when you can create space and all those aspects.
The pick is in, Steve, so we're just kind of waiting on it.
I'm trying to read y'all's poker face, because I don't have a screen in front of me. Y'all have computers and Twitter and all that.
I'm waiting for
Are you
for
going
shots.
Twitter or are you going X, Steve? What are we doing?
I still say Twitter.
I still say tweet too as well.
Yeah, I do as well.
It's hard to change the old dog, And I don't know. X doesn't have that ring to it as Twitter.
Here it is.
Oh, and there we go. We'll be live right now as we get the Pelicans pick at number 7. Curious to see what we end up shaking out with for the Pels.
Adam Silver is giving it now, and it is Jeremiah Fears, the point guard from Oklahoma. Talking about a 4, General. Yeah, Steve.
So combo size, speed, shot making, creation, a long-term upside here with the pick for the Pels. Wasn't someone that I feel like that we were talking about much here, Charlie, though.
Yeah, Fierce was always on the kind of board. I think that he could have gone as high as four is what I was hearing in kind of the pre-draft stuff with, you know, Charlotte potentially being comfortable with playing him next to LaMelo Ball, which I thought would have been kind of a weird fit. But the Pelicans have been trying to figure out their point guard position for quite some time. That's why they made the trade for DeJounte Murray this past year. Obviously, you know, the injuries that happened this past season, we know what happened with DeJounte. And, you know, addressing the future of the point guard position with Jeremiah Fierce, a very, very young guy, 18 years old, and we'll see what he can kind of do in a Pelicans uniform.
I think the other thing too, guys, again, as I'm looking at that pick and I'm just thinking of all the things that were said specifically about him. You mentioned floor general. It's a guy that wants the ball, right? And also can find where the players are going to go, finding space. And look, there's two things that just kind of stick out in my mind. I'm just trying to kind of wrap my thoughts around it. Injuries have been a problem for many, many years.
Right.
What's another one that drives poor Graf nuts? Turnovers. Turnovers. And I've said this, look, when they made the trade for DeJounte Murray, we saw briefly, right, in that opening game, what a guy like that brings. You need that. Somebody that made it to the NBA, Charlie and Steve, as a point guard.
Yeah.
I get it. I get Z. I get that he can point Z. I get that. You know what would be great for me? Catch the ball in the block or in the paint and do one or two steps, run somebody over, dunk it, or kiss it off the glass. When you're constantly having to take on two or three defenders 30 feet away to get to 10 feet, your body contact, even on made shots, the guy is hitting the deck every single time. What's the number one goal with that guy? You want to get him into the postseason. How about having a point guard or several? Because it's not, look, DeJounte Murray, we're going to get him back at some point, right?
Right.
You do have Alvarado. He can't play all those games. You got to have people that can bring the ball up the court. Don't turn the ball over. Get it to the people that need to. More importantly, can read the game. That's what a point guard is. He's a quarterback. You know, it's not like, hey, let's give the ball to Taysom or let's give the ball to, you know, somebody else to do it. There's a reason you're a quarterback at that high level. There's a reason you're a point guard at the high level. I like the pick.
Pelicans radio studio host Gus Kattengill joining us here on WWL. Thank you so much, Gus. Enjoy the rest of the draft, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yep.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with more of our NBA draft coverage. The pick is in for the Pelicans. 7th overall selection, Jeremiah Fierce, the point guard out of Oklahoma. We'll get more and break down that right after the break here on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.